So it's great to see the brothers here tonight. I'm excited about the class that we're going to talk about. As you can see, we're going on with our marriage principles. John is up in camp, and he asked me if I could share this with you. What is the husband's role? What is our role? If you're not married, that's okay, because maybe God will give you the opportunity to be married one day. And it's nice to know what you're getting yourself into. Right? Before. You know, when people get baptized, we always count the cost with them.
Yep.
And I think it's a good thing to count the cost before you get married. But for those of us who we're already committed, we're in it, and there's no way out, today's going to be a refresher. Okay, what is your role?
Come on, bro.
And I'm excited about it. And before I get started, I'm going to be teaching you tonight, but I want to assure you that I'm still learning. We're in this together. We're all learning how to be better husbands, better fathers. And I'm very, very grateful for our focus in the church of faith and family. Because it's been ministering to me already. It's helped me with my faith, and it's helped me in my family. And it's helped me to know how much I don't know, how much I need to learn about being a faithful son of God and believing in Him, trusting in Him. But it's also helped me to know how I can be a better husband, how I can be a better dad, and how I can help the community around me to be that. You know, as you know, we've been focusing since the beginning of the year on faith, right? And I know it's helped a lot of people. I hope it's helped you. Already, I've heard people talk about, man, my faith is at such a different place, and we're just scratching the surface. But not only that, we've been talking about faith, and the extension of faith is family. Why are we even talking about family? Why are we even having marriage principles? The reason is because marriage and family is core to our society. It's the very backbone. You think about these columns that hold this building together. Marriages are just the same. If they're weak, our community, our society will be weak. And I believe there's a spiritual battle going on to weaken marriage, to weaken our faith, to weaken family. We want to change things. We want to strengthen our faith, and we also want to strengthen our families. And as a staff, and then some of the brothers that are in leadership, we've been working together to come up with a 10-year plan on how we can get on course and focus on what we're going to focus on and what we're going to do for the next 10 years. And two very important ingredients in our plan here in the East Region is faith and family. We were going to lock in on those things. Because what came back to us from your faith groups and your family groups and your small groups came, we need to focus and continue to focus on faith, and we also need to focus on our family and our marriages. It's core to Scripture. So that's why we're doing this, as a reminder. You know, but before there was a family, what was there? There was a marriage. There was a married couple.
Yep.
And that's why we got to focus. When little Johnny comes up to you and says, hey, I need some time, and you need time with your wife, you said before you came along, Johnny, it was me and her. We come first. Marriage is that important. And we need to fight for our marriages. We defend and protect our marriages and learn how to build and have great marriages. If you ask people on the street, what is family? Today, you're going to get a wide variety of answers, right? Think about how much the concept, the definition of family has changed in the last 100 years. Is family today what it was 100 years ago? Not at all, not even close. And we've got to understand, if we're going to change the way things are in our lives and in our community, we've got to go back. We've got to go back and look at the way God intended families to be. Because He created families. It's His concept. It's His plan. It's His view. And you think about how important are families? They're vital. It's where children are born, raised, taught, trained, and then sent off to live their lives. But if they don't have a good family, what happens? man, there's going to be a lot of problems in their lives because they never got trained and taught right. They were not given the proper model. And that's what we want to change. But, you know, tonight, I know that a lot of us come from different backgrounds. We got a variety of people that either they have a blended family, or this is a second marriage. And we need to be reminded that God gives us grace. And there's grace in Christ Jesus, meaning we get a fresh start. And we get a do-over. We get a mulligan. Okay? We get another shot. Okay, it's not a single elimination. You get another chance. But how vital is that second chance? We need to make sure we do it right. And we put our best effort into this time around that God has given us. And I want to make sure, because I know there's a lot at stake in my family, in my marriage, and with my children. How I live not only affects me, it affects my children, but it will affect their children and their children's children. That's what's at stake right here. Is future generations. And, you know, tonight I don't want to be dogmatic. Like I said in the beginning, we're all here learning. I'm a student. I want to learn. If you've got something that you want to share that can help us as families, I want you to share it with your faith group, share it with me. Let's come together so we can learn and be stronger and be better as married men. Because this is all we've got here in the community. But let's be honest. What do you think is happening to the role of men in our society right now in the 21st century? What's going on? We're couch potatoes. What else are we? As the world defines us.
Women are working and guys are staying home.
Women are working and guys are what?
Staying home
and doing other things. We're just a provider.
I think men have become enslaved to a lot of sinful things. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, it's rampant.
Lack of responsibility. We make babies, we don't hang around.
You know, there's a lot of things that work and play right now in our society. Men bashing. You know what I mean? Very subtle, but it's out there. Particularly in our media, movies, television programs. These guys who write scripts, they may have had a bad father, and they mix it into their script. And they bash dads. But it has a terrible effect on our society, and it has a terrible effect in our family because that stuff's induced into our homes.
Yep.
And it's our responsibility to straighten that out. I want to encourage you tonight.
Come on, bro.
You're not a loser.
Right,
you're not a screw-up.
Right,
you're a man.
Right.
God had a great plan when He created you. And we have to take all that stuff that the world is dishing out and throwing aside and focus on what God has planned for us and be the men that God has called us to be.
Amen.
It's going to be a process. But we also got to give a deaf ear. Tonight the women are going to be talking about you and how to fulfill their role. And I told my wife, I said, honey, you need to make sure that the women understand the world is bringing men down. And it's tactical, it's very purpose, because if you bring men down, you bring the whole society down with it. You tear the leadership apart of our society. You are a God-created man, and you have a role. And you're not all those things that society is dishing out. All the things that we talk about. So close your ear to it and get channeled in. And you know, you may have a circumstance right now in your life where things are not going well for you. Understand, this is a period in your life. You know, and I was thinking about maybe watching something tonight together that we can watch Cinderella Man. You know, maybe another night we can watch it. But what a great description of when a man goes through a hard time and how it just eats him up. He can't provide for his family. He can't protect his family. And he can't be the spiritual leader for his family. What does it do to that man? It ruins him. But we've got to be fighters. And tonight we're going to learn what is our role as men. Okay? And it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen tonight. It's going to be a process of learning what God has planned for you. What He wants to do with you. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me on that? But I want to encourage you. I want to start out encouraging you. Alright? Not all those things that, you know, everybody loves Raymond and Sing and all these crazy shows out there. You are not that man. Okay? You're God's man. You're strong. You're capable. And you are somebody God wants to use to make a difference in our lives. Amen?
Amen?
Another thing you are a game changer. Okay? You may think because you're not playing in an NFL sport, you're not on the team, and you're not somebody, let me tell you, you're extremely important. You're more important than the Tim Tebow's of the world, and all the fame and all the flash. LeBron James, you know, all the talk about he's, you know, the most prized player now in free trade market. But let me tell you, you are just as important as LeBron James in your family and in your home. You're a game changer. You're the multi-million dollar franchise player in your house. Your home will not survive without you. You are the greatest and the most significant person in your home. That's how God sees you. You're the man.
Amen.
And it'd be good for us tonight to walk out and exchange a few words with each other. You're the man, Dave. All right? See, Joe? You're the man.
Right.
In your home, you're the man. When you see a lot of LeBron James, and when he makes his announcement about where he's going to go, you can say, hey, I'm the king in my house. Okay? And I am the most important player. But with that comes great responsibility.
Amen.
All right, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. But I want you to, you know, and now we're in the World Cup. Who's the most important player on the field in the World Cup? The moon of yes. No? Maradona. Yes. Solo hay un yes. That's what they say. Number 10 on the soccer field, he is the center player. He makes the goals. He's the star. You are, in your home, the number 10. The numeral 10. You're the quarterback. Okay, you're it. The number 7. Let's open our Bibles. We're going to have a lot of the scriptures up on the screen. But, you know, as we talk about our role, who is our role model?
Jesus.
Very important. The same thing that's happened to men, guess what's happened to Jesus in the world? They have bashed Him. They have changed who He is. And I get indignant about it. When men are afraid to follow Jesus because they think Jesus is a soft male. I remember a couple weeks ago when I got a little intense about that?
Yes.
I still feel as intense about it. I feel very strongly. It is a complete, utter lie what the world has done to Jesus. Jesus is the man. There is no stronger male than Jesus. You want to talk about strength? You want to talk about power? You want to talk about character? Steel. A will that would not be moved. Jesus is it. There is nobody else even close. And we need to get that conviction ourselves. He is my role model. You say, well, Jesus wasn't married. Yeah, but Jesus was married. He took the church as His wife.
Right.
And what a church. What a wife. You think you got a challenging wife? Let me tell you. Look around. Have you had a good look at us? Don't ever worry about you got a challenging wife. Jesus has a tremendously challenging wife. He loves His wife. He loves His wife unconditionally. So this is the conviction. Jesus is our role model. 1 John 2:5-6. If anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in Him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. If we want to be good husbands, where does it start? With Jesus. If you want to have a great role model, I appreciate John, I appreciate Joe, I appreciate Dave. They're exceptional examples, but you want to take it a notch higher? Jesus is it.
Right.
Jesus is the model husband. He's the example. He's the model man. And we always need to keep our eyes on how He loved, how He cared, how He took care of His wife. He's our role model. When I grow up, I want to be like Jesus. That's what we need to have as our mindset. I want to be like Jesus. And this is how it's described in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. It says, husbands, love your wives. Okay, you want to talk about the role model? Here it is. Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church.
Amen.
Jesus is our role model. He sets the bar. In all the Bible, when you want to hear what is a great husband, Jesus is the bar. He is the answer. And we always need to ask ourselves, am I loving my wife and my family the way Jesus loves the church? He is our model. He's our role model for us as men. See, if you ever want to know, what's my role as a husband? Jesus is it. And again, Jesus is all the masculinity you want in a man. A couple others, if we want to follow Jesus, what's it mean? What's it going to mean for me as a man? Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. As disciples, if we want to be great husbands, what kind of love do we need to demonstrate? Sacrificial love. There's going to be times, and it is a challenge for us as men, to be selfless. My greatest sin before I was a disciple, and it still creeps out every now and then, is selfishness. And I would say, probably most of us that are here tonight, that would be our greatest sin and our greatest challenge. We tend to be selfish. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow Me, you've got to be selfless. I'll take care of you and I'll take care of your needs. But you've got to take care of others. You've got to focus on others. And for our wives, they need that. They need that selflessness. And that is the greatest need. And then John 14, verse 15 says, if you love Me, you will obey what I command. So, in essence, if we want a role model of what a great husband is, Jesus is it. And following Jesus. And that's why I believe Christianity is the best place for families. The only place for families. Why? Because you've got the best example in Jesus. How to be a great dad. How to be a great husband. How to be a great friend. He describes it perfectly. No one, no other place, no other religion can give us that model as far as husbands are concerned. And then the second thing is, these are role models, the first point. And then the second point is, live by the Spirit. Let's be honest. How easy is it for us to deny ourselves and give of ourselves as men? You can't do what I'm going to describe to you tonight. You can't do it without the Spirit's help. And look what it says here in Galatians 5:22, verse 25. 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, let's try and do these things right here without the Spirit's help. Be all these things. Be all you can be without the Spirit's help. I don't know about you, but for me, it's an impossibility. to be all those things.
No way, bro.
Just one of them. Just one of them. Patience challenges me. Forget the rest. Then you add to that self-control, all those other things. If God has this expectation, He's going to provide for us the power to reach that expectation. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If you're visiting here with us tonight, I want to encourage you. You need to get right with God if you're going to live this standard as a husband. You cannot do it without the Spirit's help. And for all of us that are disciples and that have been baptized into Christ, you need to live and walk in the Spirit. You can't afford to be weak spiritually and provide for your wife.
Right.
You can't dabble in prayer. You can't dabble in Bible study and in a relationship with God that's off and on. You can't do that and be what you need to be for your family. The only way is through the Spirit. I can't do it. I've tried. I've failed miserably at being loving, patient, kind, peaceful, joyful, good, faithful, gentle, and self-control. I cannot do that without the Spirit's help. And what that means is you've got to have an intimate relationship with God to get the power of it. In prayer. And too many of us dabble in our walk with God. We don't seek out the power. Jesus rose early in the morning to make sure He had the power to be this. How much more do we need that? So there's no way without being led by the Spirit. And then in Galatians, this is very important, because I'm going to go through the role that we have as men. But before we get to the role, because you know what your role is, you are the leader of your household. But when we talk about roles, they're just that. Sometimes we think that we have a higher value than our wives. This scripture changes that. It says, look what it says. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is it. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, nor male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The world has taken the woman's role and made her less valued. Understand, your role as a husband is you're responsible, you're the leader, but your wife has an equal value. Okay? Look at what it says, male and female. The world's way is men are higher value and women are lower value. That's the old school. And we can do that in our marriages. I'm more important. I'm the leader. Even in church, I want you to understand, this transition that we've been going through and being a faith-centered church, what that means is, me as a minister, me as a leader, I don't have a greater value than the youngest disciple in our church.
Amen.
You are just as valuable in God's eyes as I am. Or Bruce Williams, for that matter. He's not more valuable in God's eyes. And so we're going to treat each other that way from now on. You have just as high a value as I do. I'm not elevated above you. I have a different role and a different responsibility than you do. But we are equally valued. In your marriage, it's the same mindset. Your wife is not less. God loves her just as much as He loves you.
Amen.
There's no difference. Jesus died just as much for your wife as He did for you.
That's right.
She's just as valuable. So we need to understand that, because the world and our macho mentality can tell us that we're more important. No, we're not. We have a different role. But we have the same value. What is my role? Here it is. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Here is your role in marriage. You are the head. You are the leader of your household. Okay? Now, that's not a statement of superiority. Okay? Understand that. This scripture tells us we're not superior. We're equally valued. We have a different role. It's not a statement of superiority, but of divine placement. God puts people in different places. Values everybody. But He puts people in different responsibilities and different roles to fulfill those roles. You as a man have the head responsibility. You're the head. You're the leader. And it's your responsibility to lead your marriage. Don't pull back from that. Do not avoid that. It's what creates balance and order in our society, in our homes. If you don't lead, things get unorganized and there's disorder. Understand that. It's not something that you need to dictate. You don't need to bully your wife. You don't need to demand things. You don't need to pull the submission card. You always need to go back to the scriptures to say, honey, I'm not better than you. It's just the way God has set it up. Help me lead. It's my role. And then you and I need to learn how to lead as men, from other men, from different resources. But that is your role. You are the leader of your household. In this statement here, your head is on the line. If you're going to be the head, that means your head is on the line. That's the truth. God expects and will hold you accountable for what goes on in your family and your marriage. The same way, me as a minister, God is going to hold me accountable for what happens in the church. That's a heavy load. I'm not just the head. My head is on the line. And just as it is in the church, your head is on the line in your marriage and your family. We need to embrace that. Not squirm away and run from it. We need to embrace it. I am the head. What a privilege that You've made me this way, God, to be this. The family is your responsibility. Your marriage is your responsibility. With responsibility, you've got to have a plan. Okay, a long-range plan. What do you want to see happen in your marriage? Where do you want to see your marriage at? It's important that you have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, talk about it. Make a plan. Talk amongst ourselves in our faith groups and in our family groups so that we can come up with a plan. What vision do you have? As we talk about our vision plan 2020, what's your vision for your children? And too often we say, well, you know, my vision is I want my children to become Christians. How are they going to get there? How's that going to happen? You've got to have a plan. Weekly devotionals are in the plan. You've got to have it. You've got to have a daily prayers with your children. You've got to have it. In order for that plan to succeed, there has to be a strategy. But that's on you to come up with a strategy. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of great resources out there that can teach us how to be great planners for our family. Even in the church, you can get, and we're going to provide in the future, how to be great parents. This fall, we're going to do the parenting principles. And, you know, we're just going to give everything we can so that you'll have all the tools. Your toolbox will be filled with all the resources that you're going to need to lead your family. But what good is a toolbox if you don't get the tools out and use them? Okay? So have a plan. Make a plan. Where do you want to see your family? You are the planner. You are the leader of your family. And then a reminder here, it's going to require sacrifice. And now I just want to talk about in our role, what our women, what our wives need. Our wives have needs. And their greatest need that they have is they want to be, their deepest need as women is they want to be loved by us. They need our love. That's the greatest need. God created that need in a woman. They need to be loved by us. You say, well, she doesn't deserve my love because she doesn't treat me right. Well, that's a reminder, what did Jesus do with us when we didn't deserve His love? He loved us anyway. There are going to be times in your relationship with your wife where she is not worthy. Okay? She's not worthy of your love because she's not treating you right. That doesn't matter. You still need to love her because you weren't worthy of Jesus' love. And guess what? He gave it to you. He freely gave it to you at your worst moment. At the time you most desperately needed it, but if you didn't want it, you mistreated Jesus. You spoke disrespectfully to Him. Okay, you are much worse than your wife has been to you in many cases, to Jesus. But He loved you anyway. We need to do the same thing with our wives. And guess what happens? They come around, and then they treat us awesome. Okay, but we can't love unconditionally. We can't love conditionally. We have to love unconditionally, just as Jesus did.
But that's what they need from us. They need to be loved by us. And sometimes you think, well, how she treats me will determine how much I love her. That can't dictate it. That can't determine it. We also need to cherish our wives. We need to cherish our wives. And how do we cherish them? By being trustworthy. We need to be trustworthy with our wives. Men of trust. How do we do that? Because if we're trustworthy with God, we're going to be trustworthy with our wives. Because of my faithfulness to God, I'll be much, much more faithful than my wife can ever expect. That's where it all comes and begins. How do we cherish them? By listening.
Big need that women have is they need to be heard. And I know their version of the story is much longer than our story. And we want the man's version all the time. I don't like the women's version of the story. This is long. Okay, I don't want to know what color dress the girl was wearing and all that stuff. Get to the facts. Give me the facts. But they need to hear it. They need to know what we're willing to listen. Okay? We need to listen to them. How their day went. How they're feeling.
It's part of our role to cherish them. Also praying with them. It's a big deal. If you pray with your wife, she needs you to pray with her. You're the head. If you don't pray with your wife, it can get crazy. She's going to worry and wonder about your spirituality. Women are prone to insecurity. So we need to take the first step and be that security blanket by praying with them. Okay, they need to see us praying. They need to see us reading our Bible. And understand, we also have a head. Okay, we are led by God. Also, our wives need to be inspired. They need to be inspired. We need to be inspiring leaders through our wives. You can't come in dragging your tail every night and think that she's going to be inspired by you not, you know, checking in with her and being close to her, talking to her. You've got to engage. You've got to think of her needs. God has put it on your plate to take care of and minister to your wife. If she's radiant, you're responsible. But if she's not, you're responsible. Help her out. So if you need help, talk to the brothers, but it's on you to inspire your wife. To make sure. Don't expect the other women in your faith group to take care of the needs of your wife. It's on you to do that. And that's a huge deal in our church because too often we want another woman to help out our wives when we need to take that responsibility for how they're doing and how she's doing. And then last, I want to close out. Our leadership of our families and our marriages need to be intentional. What do I mean by that?
You've got to have a specific plan and vision of where you want to go. I can tell you, in each region, we have a plan of where we want to go in the next 10 years. In the marriage ministry, we have a plan, and we're going to stick to that plan, and we're going to grow that plan. You and your family need to provide that leadership. In your marriage, you need to provide that leadership. Where do you want to see your marriage and your family? Make a plan. Because if you don't plan for it, it won't happen. Too many people in our society today are wanderers. They go to work, and they come home from work, and they got no plan. They're just zombies. Don't let life pass you by like that.
Have a goal. Where do you want to see your marriage? Where do you want to see your family? Where do you want to see your kids? Make a plan. Have a goal.
And aim high. And the last thing is,
you know, we need to be led by God. I'm going to play a short video of a song. It's very powerful. Our wives and our kids are crying out for leadership. And they're crying out for your leadership. They want you. They may not communicate that, but they want you to lead them. What happens? If we forfeit our responsibility, then we will force our wives to leave us or to try to take over. And that's when things get really bad. If we abuse our responsibility, then we will force our wives to run or retaliate. You ever had a time in your marriage where she was retaliating to you for something? It all comes back to you fulfilling your role. And that's what they're hearing tonight. They're hearing tonight their role.
Amen.
And hopefully after tonight, you can talk about what you're going to do. And she can talk about what she's going to do. And then together, what are you going to become? And when everybody's fulfilling their role, guess what happens? Power. And then you can help the kids, as we're going to talk about this fall. They're going to fulfill their role because they have a role. And we're going to work on them. But mom and dad need to get worked out first.
Yep.
Amen? Let's watch this video. If I could get somebody to go in the back there and dim the lights.
Can hear her say,